Lawrence Madigan had no shoelaces. He wore moccasin slippers, which meant the lack was no great loss. He wasn't in his fittest condition either, so he hadn't planned to step off for a run any time soon. He could walk from wall to wall. That was it. The door was locked from the outside. A panel was set in the wall next to the door with a scanner pad the size of a palm. That had changed while he'd been gone. When Laurie had left, Command Force Alpha's London headquarters had used retina scanners and thumbprints. Maybe they'd finally decided the old method wasn't secure enough. Or maybe they were afraid he'd snap off an interrogator's thumb and use it to escape. From where he sat in a flimsy plastic chair, he stretched out his feet. Considering the length of his legs, his ankles were crossed at a respectable distance. No one had been able to take his bones away. Mikhail Petronov, his interrogator in Russia, had tried. He'd snapped two of Laurie's fingers during his hellish year as a detainee. At least Mikhail had stopped short of playing Dr. Frankenstein and rearranging him, body part by body part. Reaching toward his toes released locked muscles in his trapezoids and low back. The relief didn't last long. The door made a nearly silent whoosh as it depressurized. He took a breath, short and shallow, still looking at his shoes. No socks either. He was supposed to be home. The field agents of Command Force Alpha had rescued him but refused to give him socks. Did they believe him so bollocksed up he was likely to hang himself with a slip of cotton? He'd been offered a noose in Russia. Perhaps they would send in Mark Fletcher, CFA's security expert. Laurie might have been wrong in assuming a rescue meant leaving torture behind. After all, he probably deserved as much. He forced his expression to become impassive, even as a hot flame of righteous anger swelled in his chest. No time for anger. No time for the rage that had kept him going. Revenge would come. Soon. The person on the other side finished the security procedures. The door slid open. Laurie knew before he lifted his head that Colonel Stafford hadn't sent Fletch. The subtle scent filling the air was something he hadn't realized he missed. The most bitter taste of loss was discovered in absences after the fact. The return could be worse than the loss. Gemma, he breathed in the silent way he'd learned. Silence had permitted him the ability to talk to himself during long stretches, when his only company was fading hope and shitty decisions. He eased up from his stretched position and sat upright. Gemma smiled at him, wistful and wan. Her mouth was full. Lips perpetually quirked at the edges served to round the apples of her cheeks and emphasize the hollows beneath. The gesture accentuated the natural oval shape of her face. Her hair stood out in wild curls. She held a manila folder. Laurie. Her voice was calm, but there was no denying her relief. By damn, it's good to see you.
Why the hell did they send you?
Her brows were delicately shaped, with a hint of an arch softening her broad nose and emphasizing her sable eyes. The arch lifted farther. Colonel Stafford is worried for you. Crossing his arms, Laurie leaned back. The leader of Command Force Alpha, a covert, off-the-books espionage unit, didn't make decisions based on compassion.
You mean he's worried about me?
Gemma tilted her head. She didn't blush at having been caught out. Her tiny smile never slipped. But he'd jabbed her, perhaps even surprised her. Laurie knew her that well. After all, they'd once been best friends. They'd nearly been more.